Welcome to episode 2 of the inaugural season of the Tulane Office of Gift Planning Educational Series. My name is Lauren Michelle, and I am a Director of Gift Planning here at Tulane, and we are so glad that you've decided to tune in today. We're trying to cover some topics that we think are of general and timely interest to our Tulane community, and hope that you find this series both interesting and helpful to you in your philanthropic planning. This episode covers the exciting topic of using your retirement plan to make charitable gifts, and how this philanthropic tool is beneficial to you and to the charity of your choice. Please enjoy.
Hi, welcome back to our next episode on gift planning and philanthropy. My name's Debbie Marks, and I am delighted to once again welcome back Stephen Berman. Stephen, if you listened to the last episode, you know, but I want to make sure that everyone knows who we're talking to here, is a graduate of the 1970 class undergrad, magna cum laude. He is a member of Phi Beta Kappa, and he received his MBA from Tulane in 1972, which he earned summa cum laude. And he got his CPA certification in 1972 as well. And Steve has a firm, the Stephen M. Berman and Associates LLC, that has 37 years of experience in tax strategy, income tax, estate tax, charitable gift planning, and business-related matters. And Steve is a generous donor to Tulane and other charities. And he has so graciously given us his time today to talk about charitable giving. And we are so grateful. So welcome back, Steve.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I so enjoy this. And as I told somebody recently, I get more pleasure about giving back than anything I do. I just think it's I got a great education at Tulane. And I think that anybody that gets something, it's not for nothing. You have an obligation to give back. And I tell that to my kids, my grandkids, and everybody. And I live in Atlanta, Georgia now, and we try to even help our local community as much as we can. Thank you.
That's so great. I tell people that I have the greatest job in the world because I get to talk to people like you all the time. So I really appreciate it. So the last, our last topic we were talking about, we started off with some unique opportunities in 2020 for charitable giving. And today we're going to talk a little bit about using your retirement account for charitable giving. But I wanted to start with asking you to speak to what's going on in 2020 with regard to charitable IRAs.
Well, 2020 is a unique year. First of all, there's legislation that was passed that limits what, if you have an individual retirement account and you have an inherited retirement account, there's changes in that field. Also, the required minimum distributions, also known as RMDs, you're not required to take those this year because of what happened earlier in their year to the stock market, et cetera, and the pandemic, and you can defer that for 1 year. You also, though, those who want to give this year also can use up to $100,000 of their required minimum distribution to charity. The CARES Act also allowed a $300 deduction above the line, so there's a lot going on in charity this year, and there's a lot going on in the retirement assets that are making it, shall I say, more tax advantageous to give. They also, Congress also changed the age for the required minimum distribution. That is, if somebody has an IRA, it used to be at 70 and a half, you were required to start taking your IRA or your qualified distribution of your qualified plan. That has now been increased to age 72. But if you were 70 and a half before a certain date, you can still do that. So there's just a lot going on in the whole retirement arena. And I think this is very, what should I say, not helpful, healthy, because I think people are realizing two things I want to say about that in retirement assets. It's advantageous to give out of your retirement accounts to charity. Why? If you die with those assets, a huge qualified retirement plan or an IRA, and you have a taxable estate, you're going to pay estate tax on that. And when the person who receives it gets it, that person is going to pay income tax on it. So we always recommend try to give out of your retirement account assets first before you give other assets. So that's a very, very good question. And I hope I've answered it.
Yeah, you did. I mean, I kind of always think about it as when you're looking at your estate, I always think of it as buckets, right? So, you know, you have all kinds of different buckets, but the bucket that is your retirement plan, that is the bucket you should look to first for your charitable estate giving.
Right. Right.
So, yeah.
And I should say they changed. If somebody died with an IRA under the old law, there used to be something called a stretch IRA. Well, yeah. You know, I'm going to die with my IRA, but my grandchildren can use this, and I'm going to use that to send them to college. So every year for many, many, many years, they will get my IRA and they can go to college. Well, they changed that too. Now you have to distribute that thing if it's an inherited IRA within 10 years.
Yeah.
So at least on certain ages. So and more. We to our clients all the time, please look at your retirement assets.
Yeah.
If it makes sense, if you don't think you're going to need all of them, why not use that as your charitable vehicle? And I'm going to go into another example too in a minute as to why retirement assets are good.
Well, let's just back up a little bit just so we can kind of and go to the beginning. And what are the different kinds of retirement accounts, and what type of retirement account would you suggest that your clients use for charitable giving? I mean, I know there's IRAs, but there's Roth IRAs, all kinds of.
Yeah, there's Roth IRAs, which don't have an income tax component of it, but they're qualified retirement plans that you have to get from your company that are required to pay out depending on when you became 70 and a half or 72. There's also 401k plans that your employer may have deducted from your pay a certain amount. So that's another retirement assets. So those are the kind that we see the most. 401ks, IRAs, qualified retirement accounts. We see that all the time.
So which kind of account would you think would be a good place for people to use? Make their charitable gifts in life.
Many times when people retire from the company for which they're working, they will take what's in their qualified retirement plan and, quote, roll it over, end of quote, to an individual retirement account. So they have complete control of it. So we think that using IRAs, not Roth IRAs, but regular taxable IRAs or qualified retirement plans are the best assets to use for charitable giving.
Okay. So when we talk about required minimum distribution, how is that calculated? How does...
Good point. That's an excellent question. You take the accrued benefit, whatever it is, at the time either the person retires or at the time the person reaches... let's call it age 72, and you divide it by the applicable payout period. So if you're still living, whatever, there is applicable payout period. Now, that doesn't have to be the 10 years. It's just if you have an inherited IRA that you have to have a certain requirement. And you divide that by the number of years, and we use for clients, for example, 4.5% as an example of require every year that you're going to have to pay that out. It goes up every year because of life expectancy. So say 4.5%, 5%, 5.5%, whatever. We think that is a good vehicle for doing charitable giving because it's into your IRA and you control it now. Same thing with your 401k. You can transfer your 401k to an IRA so that you have control over it.
So you were talking about the rollover, and I think that I want to sort of pause because I think that's a very important point. The IRA rollover, for many years, we would, as I'm sure you did, wait and usually at the end of each calendar year, the Congress would re-up the IRA rollover so that we could tell our donors that they could make those distributions directly from their IRA to charity and have it be a tax-free transfer. But I want to talk about that a little bit because in 2016, it became permanent. And so what are the rules for that in terms of how an individual could work with their IRA administrator in making a charitable gift?
Well, if you mean it must go directly to charity, you can, right. you can give up to $100,000. And I want to talk about that in a second.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about. If you're giving it out of your IRA, not having to pay the ordinary income tax on your IRA distribution. For example, prior to the change in the law, your required distribution from your IRA, let's just say, was $15,000 a year. So you pick up the $15,000 and you said, yeah, but I want to give $15,000 to charity. So then this is before the change in the law. So then you'd give the $15,000 to charity, but still you had ordinary income, potentially ordinary income tax on the $15,000. It wasn't always an offset net wash. But now I want to give you why this makes so much sense. The standard deduction for 2020, I believe, is $24,800. I believe that's the figure. And let's assume that we have a healthy individual, so he's got no medical deduction. Let's assume that the mortgage has been paid off, okay? Miscellaneous itemized deductions are so limited now, we can assume those are going to be nominal. But he still has state and local income tax to pay. And, as you may know, that's capped now at $10,000. So wait a minute, Steve. You're telling me the standard deduction is $24,800. $10,000, I know I'm going to be paying state and local income taxes and my real estate taxes are going to be...
That's for a couple, right?
Yeah, for a couple.
Yeah.
It's going to be at least they're going to be $15,000, but I only get a deduction for $10,000? That's right. Wait a second then. So that means I got $14,800 left over. I'll give that to charity. No, don't do that. Because you're going to get the $24,800 anyway, why not give the $14,000 and the $15,000 to charity out of your required minimum distribution? Wait a minute, Steve, explain this. I know I got to take $15,000 on my IRA. If I get that $15,000 to charity, I don't pay any income tax on that? No. And I still get the standard deduction? Yes. So I get a deduction of $24,800. And I don't have to pay any income tax on my required minimum distribution. Is that true? It's too good to be true. That's unbelievable. I'm going to do it. How do I do that? And so that's why it is so important that you think about that. Figure out what your major charitable contributions are going to be. And I don't care if it's 5, 6, 7.
Yeah,
8, 10.
Sure.
You can give it. You can give it to your church. You can give it to Tulane. You can give it to Sinai. You can give United Way. Whatever, but make them all out of your IRA, and you write your custodian. I want to transfer $5,000 to Tulane. I want to give United Way $5,000, and I want to give my church $5,000. You contact your IRA custodian. They will make the transfers directly to the institution. I did this myself to Tulane this last year. I wrote my custodian. And I said, out of my retirement assets, I want X to go to Tulane. They did all the paperwork.
Perfect.
Worked. Yeah. Perfect. So this is
I do want to point out though that you do not, the donor does not also get an additional charitable deduction.
Correct. But
that tax-free transfer is great, and you have to have them. You have to distribute the money anyhow. So
that's right.
A great deal.
It's a double benefit. That's what I'm trying to say.
What if you want to give more? What if you want to give more than $100,000 out of your IRA? How would that look?
You want to give more than what, $100,000?
Yeah.
Well, the maximum that you can transfer, you can give more, but it doesn't count as income tax minimization, only up to $100,000. And the rest of it, if it was from your IRA, would really deem to be an itemized deduction.
You would take the money, it would go to you as ordinary income over the $100,000, but then you could offset at least part of it with a charitable deduction.
Exactly correct. That's exactly correct.
Okay. So a lot of people do have IRA checkbooks. And I guess from my standpoint of the university, just making sure that we are able to keep track of contributions to the university from people's IRAs. I just wanted to point out that one thing that's important to us is to make sure that the IRA administrator includes the donor's name. We sometimes get checks from what looks like it's an IRA and we don't know who the donor is. And that's very upsetting to us. We can't see it. We can't thank them. And it's, certainly not, and we don't know what they want to do with it as well. So that's very important. But the IRA checkbooks usually, I assume, have your name on it. So that's incredibly convenient that people can use that for their charitable giving, right?
Yeah. Boy, I'm glad you pointed that out. I've had that problem even personally. I told my custodian to transfer X to Tulane, and they did such. But I said, where's my documentation? Where's my letter that you did it? So I'd had a call to Tulane, and Tulane would say, yeah, we received. We weren't too sure if it was from you or if it was Bank of New York, Mellon, or whomever. We didn't identify it. And
it's not always apparent. Yeah.
That's very important, because it's so new that the custodians are having a little difficulty in getting used to this.
Yeah. And of course, the other thing to do is just to call my office and let us know that something's coming and how much is coming. And, then when we get something that we can't identify, that at least gives us a point of reference, and we can usually connect the two together. Because again, it's important for us, even, though you may not get a tax deduction for the gift from your IRA, we want to thank you and acknowledge it and know exactly what you would like to do with it, because that's really important. So are there any special rules for sending an end of the year IRA gift? Let's just say you have an IRA checkbook. What would the special rules be for that to make sure that you get it in within the tax year? And then also, I know there's special rules for when the IRA administrator sends it out too. So can you speak to that?
Well, the only rule that I would be aware of is to make sure that the transfer occurs well before year end, because it has to be received by the university before December 31.
Yes, that's it.
And because these custodians, if you will, or brokerage institutions, or wherever your IRA is, are backed up with all this paperwork at year end.
Right.
Make your plans early.
Yeah.
Middle of December at the latest. And tell your custodian what you're going to do. Don't wait till the last day, because invariably it can't get done. It rolls over into the next year, and then you're upset. Because you have to pick up the income in your tax return. Don't do that.
Yeah.
So please plan ahead.
And it's kind of an anomaly, because if you just send a regular check to the university and you put it in the U.S. mail, the gift is considered by the IRS to have been made on the date of the postmark.
Right.
there's that mailbox rule. If you send a check, that is not the case with an IRA gift, though. It is the date we receive it. So when the day ends on the 31st, it whatever we have not gotten from an IRA, it will not count for that calendar year.
And given where we are in the U.S. mails today, and I can add nausea on IRS problems with the mails, I mean, days, please don't wait till the end of the year. Make your decision and do it latest middle of December. Even that, be careful. At least let the university know this is coming. When you get it, let me know. And sometimes 10 days will go by because they don't get it. And also, send it certified, by the way. Don't just drop it in the mailbox. Make sure you have proof of mailing. Well, I sent this on December 16th. Okay, fine. Where's your proof? And you got the proof. Send it certified.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's, we really like to use December 15th.
Okay.
A target to really encourage people to be thinking about what they're going to do charitably by the 15th of December. It's not that we won't take gifts after that. My office, we work until the stock market closes on the 31st, but we really encourage people to make their gifts by the 15th and then just go enjoy the rest of the holidays and the rest of the month and let us, you know, make sure that we get it all in and get everything documented. And it really helps. And then people get their tax receipts early. And it's just a win-win-win for everybody. Steve, the last thing I wanted to just talk about is you sort of opened with the discussion of we've been talking about using IRA to make a gift in life as sort of your pocketbook for using your IRA for charity, especially if you don't need all of your required minimum.
Right.
But the first thing that you said, and it really struck me, and I wanted to come back to it, was using your IRA as part of your estate plan. And so I guess I want to know a little bit about why you think that's so important. And I mean, you talked about it being better from a tax advantage. But there's another reason, I guess maybe instead of asking you, maybe I'll just tell you my opinion on it. When people use their retirement plan as an estate gift, one of the advantages that we like to point out, and I know you see this, is that you don't have to go to an attorney. You don't have to change your will or, you know, create a legal document if you're going to use your IRA for charitable giving. And we like to point that out, too, because once someone has set their estate plans and has their will in place, they're not always eager to necessarily go back to an attorney. But, you know, as an attorney, it's not that we don't want you to go to attorneys. It's just we understand that creates it takes time, it's money. And so, you know, you can use the beneficiary designation form.
Exactly. I hope you were going to say that because I was going to say that you were.
Yeah. So why don't you talk to that? I mean, that's just something I think is really important and people really appreciate that too. Yeah.
Well, you know, Debbie, I've left a letter with my executor that if something should happen to me or when something should happen to me, I'm leaving my IRA to Tulane. Oh, that's so wonderful. That's so nice of you. And then the person passes away and you look at the beneficiary designation form and it's either blank, it can't be blank, or they've left it to their kids. Well, I thought I changed that. If you don't change it on the beneficiary designation form, you're in trouble because the IRS will be all over that. So if you, and Debbie, you're so right. You don't need to go to an attorney to do that.
No.
Just whoever is your custodian for your IRA, ma'am, sir, could I please have the designation form that I signed 5 or 6 years ago and I was leaving it all to my grandchildren? And now because I understand that I can't necessarily do that, I want to leave it to Tulane or to leave it to charities or whatever. Get the designation and the beneficiary form. If you, please do that. And then give it to the IRA custodian. And by the way, it's also a good idea. It's a great idea to let Tulane know, hey, on my current beneficiary designation form, now obviously you have the right to change it, but on the current beneficiary designation form, I left Tulane 50% of my IRA or whatever the figure is. And then something should happen to you. At least Tulane knows, well, I think we're getting a gift here. Not sure, but we can check it out. But if you don't change that beneficiary designation form, you're sunk. And what that means is potentially that you got a state tax to pay on it and you got income tax to pay on it. And a qualified retirement plan and or IRA, 401k, or whatever you got left to Tulane is a great gift.
And do you encourage donors to leave percentages if they're going to look at their IRA? Because you don't really know what your balance is going to be at any given time. It's to divide up your account by percentages.
That's what we do, right. Yeah. I think to the extent that depending on the amount in the IRA, I mean, if we're talking $50,000, $60,000, that's one thing. If you're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars on some of these benefit plans, that's another thing. So take a look at the materiality of what you're leaving to Tulane or any charity. And it works. Like, for example, maybe you leave 50% to your church or synagogue, 50% to Tulane. And then, therefore, whatever the value is, don't make any difference. So they get 50%, church or synagogue gets 50%. And that works. So that's a great idea.
I also wanted to point out that one of the things that we will do at the university, because I've seen some of these beneficiary designation forms, and I think they're all probably different depending upon who holds your retirement plan, but it doesn't really give a lot of space to say exactly what you want to do with your estate gift that's coming from your IRA. So one thing I want people to know is that if you have something in mind, if you want to set up a scholarship or a professorship, or you want it to go to a certain department, for whatever, you know, we have so many thousands and thousands of ways to give at the university because, you know, we have so many initiatives and so many departments that we really like people to talk to the Office of Gift Planning. What we can do is all you really need to do on your beneficiary designation form is say, I'd like the money to go to Tulane University or, you know, Tulane University and, you know, my church or a hospital, whatever you decide. But the part relative to Tulane, we like to do an agreement that will set up the terms. So if somebody wanted, you know, to do something really specific and that to work with us, we will craft the language for you. And what that does is when and if that gift comes to Tulane, then we know exactly how to use it. And we agree to use it that way, and we're prepared to go forward. So it's not like we have to say, gee, I wonder what that person would have really wanted Tulane to do with that money. We have a writing, and we really encourage people to do that.
You know, that's a great idea. I can remember that I wanted some money that I was given to Tulane to go to the student lounge in the business school because of my love for the business school, because I was quite active there. So that's a great idea. That's a great idea too.
And that's a great thing for us to write up. And then Tulane agrees that whatever we get, we're going to use it just as you want. And again, all that is taken care of without going to an attorney. Although, of course, if a donor wants to bring in an attorney, we are so delighted to work with all kinds of professionals. So,
y'all are the best at working with that. You've done just a super job of working with estate attorneys. you work with CPAs, so wonderful. What you're trying to do is accomplish the client's objective. That's what drives you. And in the end, you can't say thank you enough.
That's great. Well, I have a fabulous team, and we work really hard to keep up with all the topics that, you know so well. And we love working with people who are generous like you. And it's a pleasure. It is, again, it's the greatest job in the world. So
thank you
so much. I so appreciate, we all appreciate that you're doing this and taking your time today. No problem. And wish you happy holidays. And thank you, Steve.
Same to you. And again, thank you for having me. I'm going to repay this pleasure, and I hope I can get to New Orleans in the near future. Maybe we can have a cup of coffee or something. So it's great.
A little cafe au lait. I think we talked about that before we started today.
Yeah,
right. I could use a cafe au lait.
Yeah,
well, thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
I really, really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. We would really like to hear feedback from you on how we can make this more informative going forward and what topics you'd like to hear more about. Please email us with any feedback, ideas, or questions at giftplanning@tulane.edu. Again, that's giftplanning@tulane.edu. Thank you so much.